You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Listen up, Pigskin fans. The moment you've all been waiting for is finally here. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get an instant prize up to $25,000. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code THPN now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello and good day, San Jose, and welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dylan Kayser, and I'm joined in studio by producer T. We also have Nick Floor on the call. Nick, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just got off work. Bit of a lull of a day, but I'm ready for some Sharks hockey today.
There you go. You got some excitement now. Come on the podcast.
Yep. Something to look forward
how
to.
How are you? Producer T, how you doing?
Good. Same. Got off work. Came down here. Glad to get out, you know, because I work from home right now with everything that's going on. So glad to get out the house for a little bit, you know.
We have exciting lives. We really do.
It's a thrill a minute over here. Jesus.
Well, you know what? Kyle McLaren might be doing something. But you know what? We don't know.
We're the people's podcast for the people, you know.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
And, by you know, the people.
Yeah, thank you. I knew I screwed that up so bad. that's just the Stick Hungry Podcast right there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. By the way, folks, if you're listening to the podcast, we are recording on Tuesday night. So yeah. We haven't seen this Colorado Avalanche game. It's just about to start, actually. And I'm a little bit worried. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, a little worried. Bold this prediction. Avalanche team is something else.
Got a bold prediction off the top right now.
5-2.
5-2 for the Sharks or no. for the Avalanche?
I was just thinking something like, they're fast.
Oh, that's not a prediction. What does that predict?
That McKinnon guy is pretty
that
good.
That guy's pretty fast. Road. I predict that.
Who's that Cale Makar guy? I thought he was a vegetable.
Not much of a lettuce, man. Before we get into it, let's give a shout out to our Twitter handles. Yeah. You can follow myself at DYL_THPN. You can follow the show at Stick Hungry Pod. Producer T.
At producer underscore TEE.
And Nick.
Find me at Nick Floor underscore.
And since you're last, you got to do Kyle's Twitter handle as well.
At McLaren underscore K.
Well, you didn't break up halfway through.
The Wi-Fi was way too good for that.
That was better. That was better. I like it. All right, boys. Where do we start?
Santa Clara. That's where we start, right?
Yeah, like you're more of a local than us. So how about?
Gotcha. Well, you guys weren't there last Sunday where we talked about the first couple games were going to be played at Gia Arena because, as of what we know, the Sharks aren't going to be able to play home games, and it looked depressing, and there was no trending, and then bada bing boom bap next fucking day. Woo! Yeah, Santa Clara County lifts the non-contact ban for sports teams. So the Sharks are allowed to practice at their home rink. Now, there still technically is a 10-day quarantine period for people traveling within the county or in the county from outside the county. So we'll see if there's any way the Sharks can incorporate some sort of non-contact bubble to be able to play home games. But we're trending upward. President of the San Jose Sharks, Jonathan Becker, is on the case. So fear not. We got good fucking news.
And we also have a hot take that's coming off Facebook. Nate Thomas saying, hot take, Nick has no hot takes.
Ooh.
Yeah, right, but I got the bat, eh? At least I got better taste buds, you fucking Miracle Whip eat sandwich eating dude.
You know what? That's a fair point.
Yeah, anyone who slathered that on a piece of bread and eaten it with a smile on his face on this podcast has no hot takes.
Doesn't even spread it, just fucking dollops that shit on there with a spoon. Uses the back of the spoon to spread that shit
yeah,
around.
That's what he did.
Like, oh.
Sharks fan 03, Steve saying LOL. We did laugh out loud, so it's quite accurate.
Actually. We did.
all right. So before we talk, Nate Thomas coming in again on Facebook saying, "Hey, those are fighting words."
He throws a Miracle Whip at you, boy.
Nate,
I will defend Miracle Whip till the end.
Nate, talk to me when your own country doesn't black out your own hockey games. Come on, man.
That's a topic for another day. But yeah, that is disappointing. That is disappointing. All right, let's quickly talk about the Minnesota Wild game, where we actually came out with a 5-3 victory. Yeah. Nice to see. I mean, we split another series. It's not the greatest. I mean, you're not really taking a step forward by doing that because we're all in the same division. But hey, we got a win, and Brent fucking Burns. That guy, just put him out on the ice. 5-on-1, he can do it everything. All. He can do it all.
I mean, watching that goal, I had a literal fucking meltdown. If I were to bring my wife on as like an eyewitness, I'm sitting on our bed, like 12 feet over there, watching the TV right there. I know it's PG. I'm watching it on TV and I see everything that he does and my instant reaction. Oh my God, Brent Burns. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God. Like, I just couldn't believe what I saw. Goal of the year.
Amazing. I mean, honestly, it's pretty incredible, especially a guy with like that kind of reach, able to maneuver so tightly in between all the Minnesota defenders.
The handling was unreal.
Unbelievable. Sharks Shadow 3 saying, who is your forced? Yeah, I think he meant first goal scorer tonight. He says Brent Burns. Hey, good.
Ride the hot hand. I mean, and let's think about this in like context, right? So Brent Burns finished the game with 27 and a half minutes of ice time. Right. There was only 2 minutes left in the game when he scored that goal. So if you assume that he played the rest of those 2 minutes, which he didn't, that's 25 minutes of fucking time on ice. And he still has the juice to pull a move like that and sacrifice the 6 Minnesota Wild players, including the goaltender, to the Wookiee gods to channel. Holy shit, man. That was insane. We even had Andrew Choi from Weekly Nightly. Or Vegas Nightly, just in awe. Just like, okay, I'm a Vegas fan, but holy shit, that was goal of the year. He undressed the entire team. He walked every dog in the park with that goal.
And you mentioned Vegas. We did beat them, by the way, in the THPN jersey bracket.
How are you?
It was a close one. It was like 52% to 48. There's like 800 votes almost.
I guess those burner accounts I made worked.
The burner accounts worked. But Brent Burns had a great game overall. It wasn't just that last play. He's looking like the old Brent Burns, and I'm liking it.
He was aggressive in the defensive zone, and I don't know if it was because of the pairing swap with he had Vlasic on his line instead of Ferraro this last game. So maybe Vlasic played a little bit more of that stay-at-home role and was able to actually defend, where Brent Burns was very aggressive in all three zones. There was one specific play where he breaks up a pass when they were coming down the right wing side, and then the puck kind of floats over to the defenseman at the blue line, and then he chops it out of the defensive zones there. So, like, I mean, he was just all around great, and that's what we want to see from Brent Burns. And he's not even a spring chicken either. The dude's 35. I think he turns 36 within a couple of months or something, and he's still fucking popping off. So
amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And it's honestly, it's not what we like to see. It's like kind of what we need to see
now. I think it's the only way we're gonna win any games, right? We're gonna have to have these star players like Burns have unbelievable nights where he does, you know, he does everything on the ice, defense, and he scores those incredible goals to get the win. I don't think it's sustainable still. I mean, we still didn't even come out, you know, winning both games. But it's a positive step, and to see a guy like that blowing off, like you said, at his age, it's great to see.
And overall, I mean, we're looking pretty even with Minnesota, in my opinion. I don't think they're a better team than us, to be quite honest with you. They might be deeper.
It's tight.
It might be deeper depth-wise, like Isha Jeromi of the Soda Pod likes to say. And goaltending, they probably got us beat there. But our offense, I mean, it can carry us, and it showed in that game.
Sure. I think the funny part about the counterpoint of them having a deeper roster is that the Sharks had 5 different goal scorers in that second game. So where the Sharks have been fairly criticized for not getting the depth this offseason that they could have gotten, you know, we had the Parise goal first, and then Donato scores, Kane scores, Gregor scores, Byrne scores, and then Nieto scores. That's the type of scoring the Sharks need to have sustained success this year. So, again, it's relying that much on Brent Burns, 27 minutes time on ice, probably isn't sustainable, like you said, T. But getting everybody in the game and everybody working together as a unit, positive trends that we saw out of this game, especially the fucking third line. Like, oh, my Lord.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Yeah. They've been amazing. And that's again, what we need, because typically we're not a deep team. So when we can get a great performance from the third or fourth line, we'll take most of those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a few comments coming in. Your boy SV says, yo, Shane, you're late.
How's it going, Shane?
Sharks fan 03 saying, looking California, feeling Minnesota. Is that, yeah. Is that like an old country song? I don't know about
it. Might be. It's cold as hell right now. I mean, in our
world. You're the American. You're the American. Fill us in.
Yeah. Get some insight on this, this saying. You're the
American. Maybe. I don't know. I have two stats I want to throw at you guys. And
Hashtag stat guy.
We talked a lot about faceoffs in the last couple of games and how it was crucial for the Sharks to be good in the faceoff dot. Dylan Gambrell had a 75% win percentage in the faceoff dot. Timo Meier didn't lose a single faceoff. But if I were to tell you one of those players logged 14 and a half minutes of time on ice and the other player logged 13 minutes of time on ice, who do you think it would be?
Well, I'd assume Timo Meier is the higher one.
Wrong. Oh. Dylan Gambrell got more time on ice than fucking Timo Meier.
Wow.
Like,
You know, we've said that these guys need the chance this year, right? And you know what? If they're performing, why not? I don't think he's going to be scared to mix it up. He's not going to be scared to give ice time to the guys that wouldn't necessarily think he would.
And guys, it looks like someone's just like rolled off the street, came off the train tracks.
Speaking of California, Minnesota.
Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Kyle McLaren.
Look in Minnesota too.
Kyle, how's it going, buddy?
I'm freezing my ass off. So how are you guys doing?
Is it actually that cold over there?
You know what? It says, for Canadians, I'm not going to say it's that cold, but I'm sitting outside right now. So I'm going to say we're getting a storm in tonight.
Judging by the wind chimes, I'd say you're right. The wind is coming.
It's 7 degrees Celsius with 24 kilometer an hour winds.
You guys got toques or beanies, whatever you call them on. Yeah. And you guys got big hoodies. Like, man, 7 degrees here. That's a nice warm day. Might even head to the beach.
You know what? If I was back in my day, I'd be wearing shorts and a t-shirt right now. But since I'm Californianized, then I'm wearing a jacket and jeans and some nice warm socks.
And paying high taxes.
Do you got the long johns on, Kyle?
No long johns unless I'm going to Tahoe skiing or something like that.
Actually, you know, I'm going to bring up an old comment because maybe Kyle knows about this one. SharksFan03 commented, looking California, feeling Minnesota. And then he says Soundgarden. So do you know what he's talking about?
That's a band.
Soundgarden's a band in Seattle.
Okay. So I'm assuming it was a lyric in one of their songs.
They came up when I was actually playing in Tacoma. But, I mean, again, you got to dress for the weather. I mean, you guys are inside, nice degrees. You know, I mean, you probably got what temperature set up to 75 degrees.
Got some nice degrees going up in the office here. Right. I love it. Jamie's saying,
We've
gone through this.
Have we? Oh, man. I'm just terrible with names. So if you're going to comment on the stream, assume I'm going to butcher your name. Yeah. I don't apologize at this point. It's a known fact. Says, do I watch this or the game?
Both.
I mean, this is – are you going to get soothing wind chimes in the San Jose?
Oh, my God. Listen to those chimes. You'll be good.
Did you know that it's doubled as an ASMR experience?
There you go, folks. In the flesh, the wind chimes. Mike Black must
have. Yes, Mike Black.
His keyboard is flying right now.
I talked to him today. He was waiting for the wind chimes to come back.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't think we actually read Mike Black's last email to us.
Thank God.
Yeah, because it wasn't quite PG-13. It wasn't even quite 14A. It was, you know, kind of R-rated. So
what the hell is 14A?
You guys don't have that in the States?
No.
What do you have?
It goes from PG-13 to rated R.
Oh, okay.
So what's in between?
We have M, right?
The teenagers who can't watch shit?
Oh, yeah, no, I think it's mature, yeah. But I don't know.
Glad to see Kyle in real time and not choppy.
Oh.
I won't even read the name.
you missed Sunday's episode. I mean, I was not choppy on Sunday's episode, was I, Nick?
No, you were running in with that fine, what was it, 4G LTE you were running
at? Yes, I'm still running it right now, so you know what? I don't know what's going on.
We talked about it before we started the stream. We're going to start a GoFundMe to help pay for your phone bill, at least.
That'd be perfect. Thank you.
SharksFan03 saying Kyle is in the foothills, so he's probably a little bit colder than us. Okay.
That's true.
Kyle the Mountain Man. I love it. All right. Do we have anything else about this Minnesota Wild game that we want to touch on, or should we move on?
No, we won, they lost. It's all that matters.
There you go. There's the game breakdown. That's a W. All right. So right now, alongside Jesus Christ, the wind chimes are just look at
hold
them.
Hold on.
No. It's for the ambiance.
SharksFan03 saying, game on. Later, you guys. See you, Steve. Give us updates on the game. I'm sure we'll be watching later. Did you just take down the wind chimes?
I took down the wind chimes.
I hear in some states that's bad luck, so I don't know.
Pigeon chiming in. Kyle looks like he is in Lethbridge.
You 100% do.
Well, you know what? Lethbridge is a lot colder than it is here right now. So, I mean, I'll handle a little bit of 30-degree weather and a little wind and a little rain.
That's it? Nice. That's where you draw the line?
That's where I draw the line right now.
We have another one coming in from Facebook. John Kaiser, loving the wind chime.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it. I love it. Again, I don't know that guy.
Who is that? You got to shout out. That's your dad.
Yeah. Big shout out to the Pops watching the stream. I don't know why he isn't watching the San Jose Sharks game. But,
yeah, that's true.
The wind chimes
are getting more than we are.
Wind chimes are popping off here. The wind chimes, VA Sports Talk. Oh.
We're gonna title this Wind Chime Episode ASMR.
Wimchine City.
Close to the microphones.
All right, so let's talk about this Avalanche game, which is underway now, apparently, because Steve has left the stream to go watch the game. Boys, this is one of the teams I don't like facing off with, because like I said at the start of the season, I think this Avalanche team could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be this and the Vegas series are going to be our biggest challenge. Hopefully, you know what, even if we get one or two, you know, or even if we split the series, whatever, a win against them will be a huge, huge confidence boost. Do I see it happening tonight? I'm not sure, but everything, you know, this season has shown that anything can happen, really.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
There's some positive words from T. Nick, what do you think?
It's going to be about super ultra hockey take coming in here. We got to play our game, guys. We got to play our game. And we got to get we got to get pucks deep. no puck watching. No fucking pylon bullshit in our own zone. Play aggressive in the D zone. We're not going to be able to outskate them at all. But we're going to have to essentially play the Sharks game. You know, quick zone entries, quick shots on the goaltenders. No letting them have their way with us. So that's essentially what the Sharks are going to have to do. The more offensive like possession the Sharks have, the less offensive possession the Avalanche have. So the biggest stat right now, Shang Peng of San Jose Hockey Now actually just tweeted it out. The Sport Logic stat is, excuse me.
You're excused.
Thank you. San Jose is second worst in the NHL with odd man rushes against per game, and Colorado is seventh best in odd man rushes generated per game. So don't do that, Sharks.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's your best analogy.
Don't allow them. Because, I mean, look how great they have three Calder Trophy winners, Landeskog, McKinnon, and Makar. So don't allow them to generate, you know, those chances. Don't give up odd man rushes because they're going to make you pay. When you have a goaltender that can't move fucking side to side like Jones, those passes, you know, left to right are going to fucking destroy us. So I like T's little prediction earlier in the episode where he said 5-2 or 5-3, because I feel like that is like an easy first game for Colorado to be able to do. But I would like to see the Sharks come out and win this one, though.
At VI Sports Talk saying, what the hell is the Sharks game? Hashtag how to skate. I don't know what this means. I'm actually quite confused. So hopefully he comments and kind of clears that up for me. I've been confused a lot in this episode.
The Sharks game is hockey.
It's a baby cigarette in its mouth. There's not a lot.
There's not a lot of credibility coming from that account. I'll just tell you that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, this Avalanche team, you said it, Nick, we don't match up well against them. Their offense, I mean, their top line is something else. Nathan MacKinnon, you know, you could debate he might be the best player in the league, or at least second or third best. He's definitely up there. Then you got guys like Rantanen as well, Landeskog, who are also really good players. Philip Grubauer, their goaltender, he's played well this season, but I feel like he could crack. I feel like the offense of the San Jose Sharks could put a few behind Grubauer, and I think that's really our only chance, because if we play a defensive style of game, I mean, we can try it, but they're just too good for that. You can try that against a team like the Minnesota Wild, where they don't have that top offense. But when you're playing against a team like Colorado, I mean, it's going to be goal for goal. You got to hope to win the game 6-5, in my opinion.
I think this is where we're going to see that the Sharks aren't going to be like, yeah, the only way they're going to win this year is if they completely outscore a team. And this isn't a team they're going to outscore, I don't think. That's why I think that they're going to have, like, the Avalanche are going to have quite a bit of a lead on this one. There's going to be a lot of goals. It'll be a fun game for the neutrals especially, but I really don't see us even close to outscoring the Avalanche. You know, I think we did a great job against Minnesota, but that's Minnesota. You know,
I watch out. VI Sports Talk is watching this, and he is the host of the Minnesota Wild podcast. But yeah, I mean, go ahead, Nick.
No, I was gonna ask Kyle. Kyle, I'm interested to see from like a defensive perspective what you think the Sharks, given their lack of defense, can do to kind of help subdue the Colorado attack.
I mean, the only thing I can see is basically Brett Burns scoring goals like you did last game. I mean, defensively, they're an offensive defensive front instead of being defensive. So, you mean Colorado's highly offensive. They got great defense. They're a younger team. But I just don't see them being able to compete with the way that – I mean, the only thing is, in my opinion, is goaltending. I think the Sharks may have an edge on goaltending right now. But when it comes to defense and forwards – to me, Colorado's younger, they're faster, and they're just a lot better controlled team, except for goaltending.
Kyle, I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before. The Sharks have the edge in goaltending. That's yeah. That is interesting. But
I was going to say,
to a point,
you're looking at Grubauer. Come on, you mean yeah. It's Grubauer?
That's Grubauer.
Look at Jones, though.
Well, you know what? I agree. I mean, I don't know if I'd say we have the edge, but I feel like it's more even this game than a typical game against most other teams in the league who have the edge over us.
If you're talking about goaltending, I mean, the team-wise, I mean, offensively, you can't tell me that the San Jose Sharks are better than Colorado on offense.
No.
And if you look at the defense, it's like, you know what? Maybe the Sharks have better offensive defensemen than Colorado, but when it comes to goaltending, is like Grubauer to Jones and Dubnyk, I just don't see them stacking up that way.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting, Kyle, you said about them being a lot faster than us. I think the Sharks are they're not as fast as Colorado, but I think
Kyle, the kid coming home from school or what?
Yeah, they're coming in.
It's fucking cold out here.
Right? Trade family's just getting back from swim class, so.
I thought you were going to say Reno, but that's a good second. That's a good second.
Yeah, no, I would be in Reno too.
All right, Nick, you can continue your thoughts. I just had to throw that in there.
No, I appreciate it. It caught me by surprise, so I kind of stumbled a little bit there. But, you know, we say that Colorado is a very fast team, if not one of the fastest in the NHL. I think it has to go more towards their play. Their play matches up with their legs, right? So the passing and everything, the deking, it all – meshes well together. I feel like the Sharks, their play isn't as fast as Colorado, but their legs, because of how much younger with John Leonard and Noah Gregor, I feel like the Sharks can keep up in stride, but it's all going to be about finding a way to stop them from essentially scoring. But I do feel like the Sharks are as fast as Colorado as far as skating goes, but as far as playing fast,
hold on, whoa, Nick,
not so much.
Nick, hold on a sec.
Oh boy.
Who stops Nathan MacKinnon on the Sharks defense right now?
Nobody. But I'm talking about, I mean, how many people in the entire NHL can stop Nathan MacKinnon?
Well, there's a few, but
I can count them all with my single hands here. So, but none of them are on the Sharks, right? But what I'm talking about is team speed. Like, overall, if you take the entire Sharks roster, they're a lot faster than they were last year. Just general speed.
They have to play a perfect game right now to win the game.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect statement. The Sharks have to play perfect to win. If they're even slightly imperfect, Colorado has the edge everywhere.
Yeah, I think Colorado
it's not like Minnesota game, or it's not like playing Phoenix. Colorado has a chance to win the Cup this year, and that's where I look at the difference. Is this team, the Sharks may win a game or two against them, but overall, I just don't see them competing against the types of Colorado type of team. And I'm only using Colorado because they're playing them, but it's night and day, in my opinion.
Zachman 200, Zach Croft saying, why are you guys not watching the game? I could ask you the same question.
Hey, Zach, I am watching the game. Don't tell the boys.
You said we're a podcast for the people. And yeah, exactly. Tuesday's night's record night. We're going to record.
Let me give you the proof. It's 13:08. The Sharks just ice the puck. So
it's either, it's either watch the game or do a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle's want? Internet can't handle both.
Yeah, no.
And you still showed up late for the podcast.
Oh, man. This is not Sharks related. I think we can move on from the Avalanche kind of breakdown. We didn't talk about this, but the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, was quite the surprise. I want to know what your guys' thoughts on this trade were. It was essentially Dubois for Patrick Laine of the Winnipeg Jets. Who do you guys think won this trade, or do you think there even was a winner in this trade?
Nick.
It was basically just like two teams that have, I don't like using the word cancers like in the locker room, but two teams that have an upset player. They don't want to be there. Find a way to essentially trade one for one. I mean, I know the pick, I think it was a third round pick that was given up. I don't remember which side had to give it up. It's just a team, two teams swapping players that don't want to play for them.
Yeah, and I mean, it was funny. I was looking online, and everybody was ripping on the Jets, saying, oh, the Jets got fleeced. They got a young center. I mean, yes, they gave up Patrick Laine, who's scored 40 goals in this league before, but he's a winger. I put the value in the young center first.
I still think that Columbus won the trade, though, because they got, what's his name, Rupinowski or something like that?
Roslovich. Anyway. What did you just call him?
Rupinowski.
No, I still do think that Columbus won the trade, though. Like, I mean, Patrick Laine, we've seen him have, like, fantastic seasons. We've seen him be a superstar in this league already. Yeah. You know, I think he got tired of the coaching. We heard that maybe it was the locker room. I know that some people are worried that, you know, he won't turn out for Torts and maybe him and Torts won't get along. I think the opposite. You know, he's this Finnish guy. I think he'll relish the opportunity to be under pressure, to be held accountable for his play. I honestly think Columbus have won this one, and they were the one held over a barrel basically by this guy. So for them to pull this one out and still look good, good for them. I mean, they've had to do it year after year, it feels, and year after year, they seem to be getting good trades out of it, and hopefully they can bounce back. I feel bad for this Columbus team. It feels like anytime they get even like remotely good, these guys want to get out of there.
And is Laine not an RFA coming up?
I think in next year.
I think he's an RFA at the end of the season. Yeah. I could be mistaken. Yeah, so I mean,
but the Jets are carrying quite a chunk of the salary as well, I think, just for this year. Right. Not that even this is more. This isn't really like a cap trade. This is really is just like a
hockey trade.
Yeah, it is a hockey trade. So I mean, I honestly think that Columbus did as best as they could in this situation with a guy who so obviously wanted out.
Kyle, what do you think about this trade?
I mean, two disgruntled players that want to leave their cities. Do you mean like, can you imagine going to, like, again, 1A and 1B, almost the same cities? It's not the Kings. It's not San Jose. It's not a sexy city in per se.
It's Canada, though.
But you know, I actually think, you know, 2 years on Dubois, he's got left. So he's got this year and next year under contract, where Line A is up after this year. I mean, they can lose Line A after a year, and that's a lot to give up. But I think that, in my opinion, Winnipeg won this one. To me, Dubois is a younger player. He's got a lot of upsides, unless he plays like he did that one shift I saw last game he played on. But, I mean, his dad's up there. He's got a family up there. Who knows? But I just don't think it's – I mean, it's Ohio is basically the Winnipeg of the United States.
Pretty much.
Dick said.
American Manitoba.
Yeah. Yes. So, even again, it's you know, it is what it is, but I just don't I hope it works out for both of them, but I think Winnipeg got the better bet because it's a centerman. It's a depth centerman where you can play maybe second line, first line. And, you know, I mean, who knows what line he's going to do because he's been so, to me, streaky is what the thing is. He gets on goal streaks and all of a sudden go flat.
Well, and here's another thing with Patrick Laine is he's had this success on this Winnipeg Jets team that has great centers. Now, yep. You look at this Columbus team. Is there a center there that he can play with, that he can actually put up those kind of numbers? I honestly don't think so.
Yep. I think they just traded him away.
Yeah, they just traded him away, exactly. Yep. And also, for the Jets, I mean, now they have Scheifele and Dubois down the middle. You can build around that. You can, yep. If you have to go into a retool, it doesn't matter. You have that center position locked up. You can reformat your team around those guys. So I don't know. I'm going to hand it to the Jets on this one.
Yeah, I guess.
Would you compare that center pairing to the likes of like the Sharks having Couture and Hurdle?
Like they can kind of swap out. Like,
well, you well know, like have a first line center to build the depth around those two centermen.
No, exactly. No, that's exactly what it is. And like I said before, I mean, the value is in the center. I mean, it's now moving forward for them. It's going to be easier and cheaper to acquire wingers to put around these guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Why do you think they put the chocolate in the center of the Tootsie Pop? Because that's what matters the most.
That's Nick. I couldn't have said it better.
Nick.
Zach Croft chiming in saying, Kyle, where's your Sharks jersey? Jesus Christ. I don't know if you want to bring that one up.
It's not coming up. It's not going to be on my jersey. It's stored away in my shop.
And, Kyle, it's looking real cold out there. I mean, I didn't even notice at first, but you got the gloves on. You got it all going.
The thing is, so listen. So, I cut my finger about a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
So, when I'm out, like, literally, it could be 60 degrees out, and my finger numbs up. So, yeah, at least having a glove on helps me with that. And I was doing yard work today, and I was doing a bunch of different shit.
Fuck, Kyle.
I just kept it on because it if I don't, my finger goes so numb, but I can't feel it.
Kyle, that's some old man shit right there.
It is some old man shit.
It's cold as shit here. My cut ain't getting numb.
I still can't bend it.
No, fair enough. And I mean, man, that was a nasty cut. I can still picture it in my head.
It was awful. I know Thomas cut his finger. Can you move your fingers yet?
I can. I got the young man fingers.
Oh, screw you. I still can't. So
it looks a little gift, like it's all cold
outside, which it's getting colder right now. But I still can't bend my finger. But I'd rather be warm than cold. I'll tell you that.
It's fair.
There you go. VA Sports Talk saying American Psycho Glove.
Man, you can't do much killing if you can't bend
your fingers. Michael Jackson glove, because this one doesn't have one.
Well, I mean, we've talked probably a solid 5-10 minutes on this episode about Kyle's clothing and
wind chimes.
It's been a hell of a roller coaster here, folks. Nick, we got something coming up for the next episode, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I talked a little bit about chocolate being the center of the Tootsie Pop, and that's why it matters the most. But we teased something a while ago, a couple months ago, I think is what it was. We were challenged by someone when we were asking questions about the Nick Will Try It segment, and someone brought up the Choco Challenge, which is 12 of the hottest peppers in the world blended together and thrown into this white chocolate square, essentially. And I agree.
My bad.
No, come on, Whiskey. Settle down.
Zach Croft. Zach Croft said, somebody get Kyle a hot beverage.
But Richie Flores kind of challenged myself to do it. And it's here. It's arrived. And it's going to be live this Sunday. It's a warning. Stupid spicy. The best part about this is that when you buy one of these white lightning, it's fucking raining out there. White lightning, they donate 50 meals to Feeding America, which is the one of the main reasons why we're doing it. Like, when you open this up, it's got steps. You got to eat the entire bar of chocolate, film it, share it. And it comes in this gigantic fucking box, this tiny little red square. And I don't want to say tiny as to like mock it.
Nice.
It says you must be insane to consume this pain. It is legit. I'm going to take it out.
Oh, dude.
Right here. Last chance to turn back. And this is what it looks like.
Wait. Show the box again.
Oh, nice. My God.
You must be insane. Wow.
That's legit. That's pretty sweet packaging, though, eh?
Yeah. You know, and they got it right there, hashtag End Hunger, Feeding America, ChocoChallenge.com. So we're going to be doing this live on Sunday, and I am going to cry like a little bitch. So
I'm pretty excited. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty pumped for this one.
Yeah, it's 12 Pepper Insanity Blend. That's what it's called.
Wow.
Anything that says insanity blend, I mean, I don't know if I want to touch that.
Kyle, I really hope you're stroking your dog there and not something to poke.
What a beauty.
Just as a quick live update, Sharks score first against Colorado, 10 minutes, 39 seconds into the game.
Take everything we said and throw it out the window, folks.
Well, no, scoring first, that's huge. They set the tone. I believe it was Donato. It was the Couture Donato LeBanc line, which has found a lot of chemistry. So, Sharks score first.
Yeah, hey, Nick, like I said about Vlasic the other day, he had a better game. So, I mean, once we talk about it, they have a better game. We're going to keep doing it.
Yep, there you go. But Ryan Donato, should we call 911 or now, or wait for Sunday?
I appreciate the concern.
No,
honestly, if it was me eating that, you might actually have to call 911.
Authorities and medical personnel will be on site.
Yeah. I mean, I highly suggest this is just a financial decision. I would call Crime Stoppers and get the anonymous tip for that one rather than 911.
You're gonna have to have like a cup of milk or something on hand, though.
I've done a lot of research into ways to prep. It's not the like from what I've read, it really isn't the initial that's the worst part. It's the aftermath.
Dude, I'm not allowed to prep and train for this.
I did prep and train
for this. Don't they ever tell you that it went before you go out for drinking? Is chug a little bit of Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah,
you won't get drunk or you won't get like hungover. So what's maybe the point try of that.
If you're not getting drunk, Kyle.
You get high off
Pepto-Bismol. Hungover.
Is it could help you out probably.
You know what? Yeah, because it coats your stomach, right? So
that makes sense.
So I mean, I know a lot about Pepto-Bismol. Apparently,
I'm gonna be eating I think it's like 2 slices of buttered toast, like a lot of butter on it because the dairy helps break down the capsaicin. So
Nick, this might be disgusting. And honestly, I normally would not suggest this,
but
you know what? The Miracle Whip on bread. I mean, that might do the trick, but the thing is you have to put on as much as Nate Thomas from the Quack Report puts on. And then at that point you just got Miracle Whip in your mouth and a little bit of pepper mixed in.
Oh, God.
Jones just fucking robbed Rantanen. I know that everyone's going to be listening to this on Thursday. They're going to be like, we fucking know. We watched it. But Jones just committed highway robbery. So,
Crime Stoppers.
All right.
We should start watching this game, boys.
Yeah, we should actually start watching this game.
Zach Mando will be having our bodies for this.
Shout out to Zach for coming on the podcast. I think two episodes ago now. Yeah. Guys, we're almost at 100 though, and that's why we're doing this chocolate challenge with Nick. But 100 episodes.
Don't say we are doing this choco challenge. I am doing this choco challenge.
We get the
worst. Nobody else. I'm still waiting on Kyle to eat a fucking hot bean. Okay.
Oh, Kyle eats the pop beans.
Oh man.
Oh man.
Sorry, I'm here petting my dog still.
Oh yeah.
That's what they call it now.
They're calling it these days, eh?
Petting the dog.
Feeding the geese, boys. I'm just feeding the geese.
Choking a chicken.
We should probably wrap this one up.
Yeah, this just got out of hand.
Choking the chicken. Oh. Is that what you just said?
You've never heard of that one?
I have, but I just didn't expect Kyle to pop that one out.
Kyle, the dad, wearing his New Balance shoes.
Choking the chicken.
Is there any kids, kids watching? I apologize.
They don't knock my shoes.
You actually own New Balance.
Okay, Kyle, before we end this podcast, we got to see your shoes. Because if they are New Balance, I'm just going to die.
There better be some Wolverine boots.
Oh yeah, that's
pretty
good.
Okay.
All right. You've been promoted.
Those don't know what kind of they are. I think they're Merrell shoes. They're hiking shoes.
Those are actually good shoes.
I'm a big Merrell guy.
Yeah, me too.
Big Merrell guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Treat.
The hiking shoes are what they are.
Okay. Okay. Nice. True Canadian. True Canadian. I like it. All right, guys. Yeah, this has gotten out of hand. Okay. Kawhi is signed by New Balance from your boy SB.
The hockey podcast.
Big
shout out. I want to see Kawhi wear those white ones with the New Balance right on there. The old dad shoes. I want to see him wear those one game.
Yes.
Yeah. Who do you think?
We have a word for that at my work. We have a word for those shoes that I can't say on this public broadcast.
No, I cannot.
I'm not going to say it.
You're going to stay on solo until you say it.
Right?
There's two names. I'll give you the first one is Mississippi Mud Flask, but the other ones I can't tell you. I can't fucking tell
you. Okay, maybe you can't.
You tell me that. Oh, boy.
Well, so this is a San Jose Sharks podcast.
Yeah, what a way to end this episode.
Thanks for listening again. For everyone listening to the podcast version, we are recording on Tuesday night. So, don't get mad at us for not breaking down the Colorado Avalanche game. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it. We can't just...
We're going to. We're going to watch it right now.
We can't just travel into the future, folks.
Oh, look, there it is. They won 4-3.
Oh, man.
What? Six,
I didn't say who.
Six,
I just said hey.
Colorado?
Okay, we're going to end this. All right, folks. Let's give a shout out to our Twitter handles. You can follow myself at DYL_THPN. You can follow the show at Stick on Green Pod. You can follow the pod, the network at Hockey Pod Net. Jesus Christ. Producer T.
Producer_TEE.
Nick.
You can find me on Twitter at @NickFloor_.
And Kyle.
McLaren_K.
There you have it, folks. What a fucking roller coaster that episode was. Let's hope the Sharks pull out a win against the Avalanche. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you on Sunday.